Hello, hello.
Yeah, so I have a question in relation to, so what I thought in the piece, what one of the things that struck me was this way that you work with synchronicity and dissynchronicity between the two of you. And I was wondering how you were working on this, because it did not come across to me as a system or as a very precise, or it didn't seem to me as a very rigid structure, but nevertheless there were a lot of like shifting in and out of synchronicity. And I was wondering what this interest between your two bodies, or I was wondering how you were thinking about this issue of synchronicity and dissynchronicity, and how you worked on this.
I think this was the main reason why we decided to work to have two people doing this. And not just one, because the...
Sorry, speak up.
Sorry. I was saying that this possibility of having two different timelines or two different rhythms or having both together at the same time was the main reason to have two bodies on stage. Because in a way the rhythm is a very important issue on there, because it's not just by sound but also the movement. It really pushes people to feel the same rhythm in the body as a sort of breathing also. And when it's like a little bit what music can do sometimes, that you have some sounds synchronizing or in an harmonic relation, and at some point it can break down and you feel two different lines, but they can come together again. And I think this happened a little bit by chance during the process, I would say, that we were trying to do some things together and suddenly finding ourselves working in parallel or in just different structures, no?
But it's also what we normally think of doing is to produce synchronicity, because this has to be added, because the bodies are just different and they have different weights also, how they fall down, and then what you have to produce is synchronicity. But you can also think it the other way around, like what you have to produce is asynchronicity, or to think the ways you can get out of this doing same, which is of course, as we worked in general about images and forces, it is interesting to think about, like, how does the force exerted on a body push the body to, or produce the body to be asynchronous and to have this asynchronicity as an effect, and how you can work on it to be in this synchronicity.
And at the same time, it's a piece about liveness, so each night it's not the same. You might start off with the intention of, at one particular point, that you are actually in sync, but it's such a piece of concentration that there's just this split second of either timing or non-timing, and every night that's a different experience.
So how set is it then, actually?
It is completely set, and there's a score throughout that, of course, we have in our head, but there's these tiny, tiny moments of improvisation in this kind of acknowledging an awareness of what's going on with the other person.
If it would be music, it would not be this kind of jazz improvisation or on variations, but it would be minimal techno.
Yeah, I'm curious now about this, what you say about forces. What did you say? Images
and
forces. Could you explain a bit more what you...
We had this discussion in the beginning, but I cut you. We had this discussion in the beginning about, or just a talk about Muybridge, this guy who made all these pictures, and where these pictures, which are like sequences of movements, and then actually we found it interesting to think about to make a piece about everything that he cut out in the images, like it's the in between the images, and our jumping basically was then the cut out. And what you have is the image, but at the same time we included the images. Mm-hmm. And this was a little bit to think about how can this cut between images as perception works of and allows also for imagination in this in-betweens, how can we combine this with the force? And we had this general work on gravity then going on, and more generally speaking of forces, how a body is forced by an external force of the trampoline, like making this and all the time, but and also forces, of course, or uses his force to counterwork things. And for me, it was then, or I would put it that way, that like the jumping is the cutout of the images, but it's exactly what produces the expressivity of the images. Mm-hmm. And we had this desire to find a mechanism to record the audience during the show also. But there is no recording machine to have this recorded in an interesting way.
But it's interesting, because some of the parts you could actually, if I think back, I think like there are certain parts that maybe are more about the maybe I shift as an audience, I shift between looking and sometimes at this image, more image, like, so if you do it like horizontal things, lying and stuff like this, then every down is actually in a way a new image. And I can choose to focus on this, or I can choose to actually also focus on what is happening in the meanwhile between those two. And when it's more, when it's higher and more vertical, it's more about an image up, I would say.
And the background image, of course, of the opposite audience that is following.
Yeah, what was
the beginning especially.
Yeah.
What was the idea behind this setup? Because it's also a very particular thing of having people on two sides instead of a frontal setup, and also the proximity, because we're quite close.
I got a lot of ideas from watching tennis games right there. So. Opposite from each other, and how the gazes are actually traceable by the opposite audience.
And now you.
Then upside down.
So that the sport, you mean that there is something about sports, because that's of course one of the things I started thinking
about.
About
how you look at sports and how audiences are set up in sports, and we wanted to bring this in our relationship with some very rich images.
Because that was one of the things that I thought about. I know now in the Olympic Games there is this there is a discipline called synchron jumping, and I'm sure you of course know about this, but this is this thing that people, the two bodies are jumping and they do very spectacular things, and I watched it a bit on television in the last weeks, and when I saw your piece I was really thinking, what is the relationship to this? Because it's exactly two sides, but what you do for me has in a way nothing to do with this. Because here, like what I see on television is all about spectacle and very, very impressive, like technical, they can do amazing things. Like it's kind of overwhelming and impressive, but the duration of the thing is super short.
I do believe that what we do is spectacular as well.
Yes, of course, but I mean, there we discussed a little bit on this when we were in Montpellier. We discussed a little bit on the different ways of how you can think synchronicity also. And of course, like in this Olympics thing was of course very known in Germany, because there were these two boys jumping and they made a fault, and they had a synchronized fault. And they got the points for synchronicity, but they got a failure in performing their figures. No? But to perform these figures, was not the only challenge then, of course, for our piece. It was like to think only in this terms of images, because the very beginning, for example, when we tune into each other together to install this, it's very interesting for us to see how by breathing at the same rhythm we can. It's not that I see Jefta and Jefta sees me, that we can just be the same, but we have to breathe in the same way. So we produce synchronicity by breathing, by looking at the other, by always going back and there, and by the sound also, a lot of times with the...
But it's about a much more subtle experience. It's about shifting perception in a very different way. It's not about producing a fantastic forward roll that's a kind of strange bodily abstraction. There's actually much more possibility for reading something as something you recognise. Like, for instance, you were talking earlier about these horizontal movements. I think at one point when we took turns stepping out and watching each other, I was reminded of the body that is shot in a film. It's repeated, kind of jolting, that sometimes we create an image that's very concrete, and that very rarely happens within a kind of sporting thing. That's purely abstraction. We're not really interested in producing pure abstraction in that same way. And the duration has an effect upon our body in an entirely different way from that of sport.
But what the I'll say in relation to sport, how do you, what kind of body or what kind of aesthetics of a body are you, is this something you really worked with? Because you could easily say like, okay, a very sportive, very athletic, capable, virtuosic body. In a way, this is not what you do. Like in a way I can recognize in you my body when I see it. And so how did you work on this in terms of technique, in terms of...
We worked a lot on the costumes.
Let's go.
And, no, but it's, of course, I mean, it's choices you take. Huh? It's not like that the aesthetic question is in the beginning of something, but it's more the effect of what comes out. And of course, then it's a choice to take a more like everybody's t-shirts, with stripes, then and then the normal jogging something, then a super Adidas or like all this branding.
But I mean also like more. I really mean in terms of body more than image. Because there's something very accessible in relation. If I would compare this to trampolining body from Olympics, you would have much more of a distance.
We hope we allow for an experience of empathy. I mean, this kind of small movements that we see in the audience, we understand that they can read their bodies as possibly our bodies on these trampolines.
Yeah.
That's a kind of possibility, rather than seeing someone in a fantastic leotard going 4 meters high in the air. Well, that's not me. That's never going to happen. So.
Yeah.
And it's also, of course, the turning around and changing directions, which makes it, I mean, that our challenge when doing this is also like to have always this audience spinning around, which is you offer also different angles to enter.
Yeah.
And it's and then, of course, we had to properly work on the gazes also, how we look
how
and when
connect.
And how to connect. Like in the for example in the beginning with the higher jumping.
Yeah.
And of course it's
I was watching thinking about something, because there's something about joy in the piece for me when I'm watching it, like that where jumping directly connects to certain kinds of bodily sensations. But I feel also in the piece that there are other sensations, so when the bodies are more passive, for example, like this, what you were before, the shooting, like this scene where it's everything is passive and just kind of moving. And I was wondering how are you thinking about this relationship between joyous or upliftedness, and like how do I ask this? Like, in working on this piece, how were you navigating within these different sensations, bodily sensations, both produced in you doing it, but also for the audience, like of joy and kind of capacity and bodies that can do more than what they can do without these mechanic extensions, or on the other hand, bodies that somehow seem passive or can't do anything or are being moved almost mechanically by these machines.
But I would say that this moment of passivity is also very much connected to the pleasure of it,
mm-hmm.
which is something that then, on the other hand, you don't find in the sport version,
mm-hmm.
which is letting yourself be with the trampoline, or the object that allows you also to conquer a different or outer body movement. Or
mm-hmm.
there's less competition than in sports. We use the mechanical extensions to produce something for the stage and not to make the new records.
But we also had this discussion about that the when we think about mechanics, then we also we have this image of one impulse and an effect,
mm-hmm.
and this kind of thing going on. But this what popped up was more that it's not an either or of being effect or cause or the other way around of a sensation. But that there is an in-between, or at the same time, a simultaneity of, like, you can at the same time be worked by the trampoline and be an effect of the trampoline, and, of course, by just different shifts in the body, you have different shapes coming out. And so it's a simultaneity of joy and being worked, for example. And this is always then when we worked, it was so obvious in the work, but when we in the discussions after that, I think it's also a language problem that we also then often create this either or situations when we try to speak about it.
Yeah.
But over the 3.5 months that we had to work on the piece, we were able to try out all the possibilities that were available to us. You know, working over a long period of time meant that you could really see what effect does this have on, and to create a kind of dramaturgy of experience, really. And that's how you try and create a kind of whole and take an audience through these different levels of experience, this kind of empathy of a joyous moment being really high, but suddenly this kind of quite aggressive moment of digging your fingers into the trampoline and your body being inverted up. And it was through this kind of playful watching, being in it, being outside of it, that allowed this kind of variety of experience to come about.
And how is it, how do you, would you say that your experience matches the experience watching? Does your experience doing it match somehow the experience of watching it? Because you said you watch each other often. This was the method of working.
Yeah.
But then how constructed is what you do in relation to experience from inside? Or is it constructed, or is it actually the same? I don't know.
No, it's not the same, but it's very interesting that if you see it, you also have this, then in language we would put it as an effect more, like that you have this mechanical whipping also, or some kind of response by your body
reflex,
in seeing it,
yeah.
Physical reflex, or but it doesn't have to be a reflex neither, it can also be like you're actively just making a rhythm also, huh? But it's not, of course, it's not the same effect than if you're on the trampoline, if you do it. So it's more, for me, a kind of relationship of empathy, as you said already.
But you,
it's sympathy, like really this pathos as sensation, eh? But which is not the same on trampoline and on viewing.
But a body that knows it, you know, a body that knows this experience, then watches the experience in a different way. A body that has done these movements knows exactly the experience of what it's like to watch that at the same time to do it. It's like not everybody that sits and watches it knows what it is to do those movements. So I think a thinking, watching body has a different experience.
I was wondering exactly about this question of knowledge, like whether or not, as a spectator, so I'm not used to jumping, but I still feel that I have a knowledge in some weird way about what it feels like to be 3 meters, 4 meters over the ground falling down. That's something very strange. Like, what is this physical recognition that I can have of what you're doing, even when I have not tried?
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering if, but maybe that's more to ask the spectators than you, in fact, but the fact of that spectators can actually recognize, but through a kind of negative, like not by saying, okay, probably bouncing on my back must be quite uncomfortable, you know, it's not, but there's something about not having done it
mm-hmm.
as a spectator, but still actually being able to imagine physically what it would feel like. And that, I think, is this empathy, like the level of...
I think it's really about kinesthetic experience in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It's more, and we were searching for it, isn't there? Well, some of these Laban texts also, like where he tries to explain his whole notation theory and saying that like the movements you do as a dancer, they kind of resonate in the spectator. But I mean, these kind of texts are very rare that we, and I think the studies in kinesiology have to be pushed in this, because we only have like this kind of empathy, sympathy words,
mm-hmm.
or like more imaginative things, and also the physical response, and it's something in between, I think.
But everyone as a child has jumped on their parents' bed. You know, not everyone's done a perfect pirouette. So there's this kind of experience that pretty much, maybe even if you've not been on a professional trampoline, you've jumped on something. So you know, I think it's, you know, in the same way that, you know, when someone does a walking piece or a running piece, everybody has walked, everyone has run, but not everyone has done some of the more virtuoso things that other dancers do. So there's this kind of potential base that you start with. You take it to a different level, of course, but you start with this simple experience that potentially everybody's had.
Mm-hmm.
The end image, the image with which you end the piece is quite striking, the blackout. But how do you do that, actually?
We put a black. We put a black, and then... But it's...
But we don't hear it. We don't hear you landing.
Yeah, but all the sound is pre-recorded.
All the sound is pre-recorded?
Yeah, because the trampolines themselves don't produce any sounds while jumping on it. All the sounds pre-recorded during the piece. So we just make a blackout and also stop the music. This way we try to...
That's why it gives this effect of silence.
For me, it's
like
silence.
Now, I have maybe a more, I don't know, a more general question in relation to it, like, how do you position yourself or think in relation, because for me the piece has something really, like there's something very strong about sensation and the like really physicality.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time there is also a very strict setup in the piece. So I wonder, like, for you, what was the emphasis, or where is, so there's a conceptual frame, but there's also very much a physical desire or a physical frame. And I'm somehow wondering how you place yourself between this sensation, body experience, physicality, and then a more conceptual, like how much of your interest in this piece is also a conceptual interest, and what is this conceptual interest then, if there is one?
I would say that the conceptual interest is to void the discourse on the conceptual, the non-conceptual, the dance, the physical dance, blah blah, discussions, to void it from like the other way around,
mm-hmm.
to make a proposal that is really on physicality, but also, I mean, yeah, that's why I said forces, because there is something in this to make another proposal which is exactly this kinesthetic sharing with the audience, and to make in this first of all another proposal than just being in a circus, and also to put artwork on another level of discussion, because forces is what you can only sense, and not what you can conceive. And that's the difference. And yeah, if I would be asked to put it in theoretical terms, it's of course Deleuze who thought about this, and this is very interesting, and this is also naming a kind of edge of discourse at the moment. Because of if you speak forces, you get pretty quickly into a kind of mystic discourse. And this...
Yeah, because in a way it's surprising to me, like, you all the time explain it with the body, the recognition, so in a way very simple bodily. What?
I didn't say recognition.
No, but the fact of saying we've all jumped on our parents' beds and we've all... So that's a very kind of thinking that there is something in the body that everybody shares.
Biology,
or that, and that would be a question for me, is that actually true? If you would do this, like, is there, what kind of notion of the body is this? That we all share gravity, for example.
But I would say that also on a different level, there's a maybe more abstract relation to it. Because for me, all this process of repeating a jump also means the way in between being down and being up, and this very much the working on the way to fall, which is a preparation to jump again, but continuously falling can also very much be related to almost a sensation of endless death or dying constantly, but on the other hand you can see the other way around, that it's almost like being born each time, and the repetition, and of course this feeling of letting yourself fall, I think it's starting maybe from this moment of feeling your body answering to the impulse of our parents' bed or something, but you always have an experience of falling or a relation to gravity, and you know how it is to fall. And then,
yeah, but remember the pullovers that we used. I mean, this was really also kind of surprise situation that we always think that we know what gravity is and does, and then it just doesn't, it just jumps out the pullovers, or it's sucked out by something else, or this image of all of a sudden a horizontal force and not a horizontal, and not this kind that we imagine to the gravity, to the magnetic field.
But because the trampoline responds in a different way to a hard floor, we also have this kind of playfulness with time, as if kind of time seems to kind of slow down, that you have this kind of frozen moment in the air. And that, so, I mean, it's not, we don't all walk around in this spongy world, that there's some relationship to this kind of, to the type of surface that we're playing with. And then that goes back to your Mybridge example of this kind of cutout. This kind of cutout, frozen moments that kind of get suspended in the air, and that kind of playfulness with time that it allowed us to have.
I mean, that's a very strange thing. In fact, this thing that the whole piece has this, it's moving all the time. Like, that's so that it is movement. Like, the piece somehow is movement. But what is very funny is that, of course, on the top and on the bottom, there is a moment when the movement reverses. And so that there is something in this which is a very complex thing, that on one hand I see that for this 1 hour that I'm watching you, your bodies are all the time in movement, but at the same time I constantly see stills or see, and I think that has to do maybe with this image thing that you were speaking about before. Like, images are produced even when it's not the focus, you know. Like, I see because of this moment when the thing reverses, there is an image.
Yeah, that was your question also. I don't know your name, but it was like when you said that you also watch the in betweens of the. It's really that you can just focus on a line, And just see the images in this line, and while we are doing this, and then you can also, you also see these moments. You produce images on other levels. You forced, and that's what we realized when we done it.
Mm. Yeah. I have this experience, and sometimes I also have the experience that the jump becomes so normal that I don't even think about the jump anymore.
No, but...
And that actually whatever takes place on top of the jump.
Mm.
So that it has, like, this is the constant, and then what happens is the dramaturgy somehow. So whatever, this will be there. Mm. And in a way I can forget about it, it's like a world in which this is the norm.
Yeah.
And then I was just wondering, because then there is a path, so the... Whatever is done on top of the jump or with the jump is somehow the course of the piece. And how was this, like dramaturgically speaking, how was this worked?
It's hard.
Because that also goes, physically it goes place, but also...
The course of the piece in relation to the jumps or...?
No, that was just my thought, but about the dramaturgy. Like how, in a way I think, like I look at it and I say, possibly everything could just be switched around and you would have another piece. But I also sense there is something in these choices as to why things are in this order.
Mm-hmm.
And what are they? Are there choices like that?
I think we looked a lot at transitions. These kind of transitions from one jumping state to another, and you kind of get into a kind of a trampoline zone, not only by the limits of the space within which you're working, but through this repeated movement. And we really wanted to look at, okay, if we're working with the horizontal at this point, and then we're going down to a kind of making this big move from a kind of horizontal position from a vertical to a horizontal position. What sort of associations begin to occur, or what is the kind of dramaturgical link between these things? And actually, it happened quite organically, and then
uh-huh.
we would kind of step back from that process and look at it again and shift around and say, okay, what if we tried something that wasn't so organic, or that would jar, or... And we just were very playful with that kind of state.
But it was also like, in the beginning was, of course, the desire just to jump and to try out what's possible, and then we looked at the material, and of course there were like moments because we were also interested, we didn't speak a lot about this one, but about the expressivity.
Mm.
and
because there it also goes somewhere in a way.
What you mean, the expression in the
place? The expressivity of the material has a, that's what I also thought, that it has a dramaturgy very much.
Yeah, of course. I mean,
of course, and you have to make a piece and bring it into the detail, and that's what choreography is. To make all the transitions and changes in between the general understood jumping.
Yeah, but his question was why, or what is it, like how we made the dramaturgy of this also. And I would say it was first in the beginning, it was the desire to jump and then to try out what's possible, first of all. And then of course it's completely limited with the... So it's limited also to an hour, the piece. I mean, you cannot do it for 12 hours or something like this. And then we cut out all these moments which were kind of too expressive, or where we edit, and then we let in more the moments where what we expressed came out of the movement.
Mm.
And of course, like, had some playing around with this also, but like the when we jump up, for example, that it's not the, but it's
because this allowed for more possibility of a more multiple reading from an audience. If you take something to a kind of logical extreme, we found that it's too fixed,
mm-hmm.
and we wanted to have something that had more kind of openness
mm-hmm.
within the kind of reading. Which isn't to say that at times we weren't stuck. We did get stuck, but we had a palette of experiences and a palette of different types of moods that we knew that we were kind of creating, or different types of physical sensation, and how those sensations can then be read.
I think we have time for maybe one more question. Because I would like to ask, because it's for me this transition thing, I could really see, like that makes a lot of sense. I'm sometimes wondering if you have a language, like, so what do you call, so this expression, like, so the piece is somehow full of different types of expression, and I'm wondering if you, like, how do you speak about these things with each other? Like, what is the terms in which you try to describe these things, or discuss the kinds of expression, or the, like, do you have a vocabulary? Because that's when I watch it, I have difficulties in, so some things, okay, I say the dead body, like, or the passive body or something, but there's also many things where I have difficulties in finding the definitions of what these expressions are, and I wonder if you have another way of.
Of course, we encountered the problem all through the long, but we mainly it's that we managed. I think it's mainly we talk in images, no? That's like that we speak or in sections, like the beginning, or and then like.
Which part is that?
The beginning, the middle, and the end.
And no, but the very beginning, of course. I mean, then and then it's also and the jumping is of course the very high jumping, because it's jumping all the time. But but in between, it's also like the dead man. Or
the Muybridge dog tree.
What?
Muybridge dog tree, horse, lion.
So you have image, for you,
yeah.
It's kind of, it's images that connect to
images
these.
Images connected to low jump, middle jump, high jump, mm-hmm. beginning jump.
Mm-hmm. But it's also like, we worked a lot in the beginning with music, too, and I think it's quite has an affinity to the discord of a musician.
Like the Madonna section, or
no, not this way of music, but more like how you speak in music also about parts of a score, no?
Mm.
It's motifs, so images, and sometimes activities. You speak in dynamics also, of course.
Mm-hmm. Could you score it? I mean, would it be possible to score it?
Yes, of course. It is scored, so. But I'm not a good designer, so I couldn't make a good drawing.
Drawing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.